awesome Savior we serve. He is absolutely awesome. Let's read. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto her, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Excuse me. Gotta laugh for a minute. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. You can go ahead and be seated. I got a lot more to read, but I want to stop right there for just a minute. The social rules that this conversation breaks is phenomenal. What's going on in this whole story is amazing. Just for the fact that he is talking to a Samaritan woman. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And not only that, it was taught to a teacher and a rabbi to not ever talk to a woman in public unless it was his wife. So the social norm is all displaced in this conversation. And what's interesting, Sam, is Jesus is the one that instigated the conversation. She comes to draw water. I have preached this so many ways. Progressive revelation. First, she says, you are a Jew. Then he begins to tell her things, and she says, you are a prophet. I perceive you're a prophet. And then when she gets to the city, she says, is not this the Christ? And it was progressive as he began to reveal himself to her. And the truth is, sometimes you need to stick around and walk with God for a while to allow him to reveal himself to you more deeply. It was the man that was blind that he touched him, and he asked him how he would see. He said, I see men as trees. And you know what Jesus did? He touched him again. Sometimes you need to come back and get touched again. Sometimes you can perceive something about Jesus, but the longer you walk with him, the more he reveals himself to you. And I want to point this out and make this very clear. I can teach you. I can preach to you. It takes him to reveal it to you. And that comes through the Spirit. And when God reveals himself to you, there is a revelation in your heart. And when you have a revelation in your heart, the devil cannot take that kind of revelation away. Some people I have met are living off their parents' faith. I've met people that are living off their grandparents' faith, living off their pastor's faith. This is what they told me. And then I have met people who have really met Jesus. And when you really meet Jesus, he reveals himself to you in a way that only he can, so that you understand he truly is a personal Savior. And it's not a blanket kingdom, but God is so personal that you can call on him when nobody else knows that you're in trouble and he hears you. When you walk with him, he reveals himself. But I notice a couple of things different. I notice that as this woman is talking to him and the conversation is taking place, Jesus instigates this conversation with this Samaritan woman. Now, there's a lot going on. And they begin to talk about worship. They begin to talk about her husbands. And he says, go call your husband. If you don't know the story, I'm going to fill you in. She said, what'd she say? I have no husband. Jesus said, that's right. You've had five of them. And the one that you've got now is not your husband. Now, we got to be really careful how we deal with this, because automatically we assume that it's her fault. There was a guy, I don't know if I should tell this, it's Wednesday night, we're all family here. There was a guy that called me and asked me if I would perform a wedding for him. I said, when is it? He gave me the date. I said, man, I'm not going to be around that day. And this was his eighth wedding. And he said, your loss. I said, I'll catch you on the next one. He laughed, I laughed, and we hung up. God told me today that he talked to his uncle, who's been married many, many, many times, and he finally looked at him and said, Unc, I don't think it's their fault. Something went on in this woman's life. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, six times to this point. And Jesus, notice, there's no judgment in his voice. He's just stating a fact. He just states the fact, lets her know where she's living, and he knows where she's at. This blows my mind. Because you know what happens? We judge people by their living conditions. We judge people by things that have happened in their past. Come on, say amen. It's all right. We look at somebody and we figure out, Eddie, again, I'm going to quote you. Years ago, Eddie got up to preach and he said, I'm going to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. That's what he said before he preached. And we look at people's lives and we begin to get a preconceived notion about them without ever knowing the story. We don't know her story. We do not know her story. We can piece some things together. But what I love about it is Jesus is talking to this woman that the religion of the day said he shouldn't be talking to. The leaders of the day said he should not be talking to. Let me tell you something about Jesus. When Jesus gets involved, he doesn't care about statistics. He doesn't care about religion. He doesn't care about status quo. He don't care about pressure. You think Jesus ever been? No, Jesus is truth, and I'm going to choose his way because I think Jesus' way really does work. Can you say amen? The church, I don't have to be careful. The church has got to a place where we think we have to operate a certain way to make it work. I'm here to tell you, if we operate the way Jesus operated, it will work. You may have an idea, I may have an idea, but the truth is the only idea that really matters is his idea. So if I can walk in the plan of God, then it's going to work like nothing else we could do. Let me keep going. The woman said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Jesus said, go unto her, go call thy husband. We got that. For thou hast had five husbands. This is verse 18. And he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. Thou hast said truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I read commentator after commentator. And they all say that this is her deflecting because she don't like the husband conversation. And she says, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I don't think she's trying to deflect anything. I think he has just spoke something into her life that he really should have not known, but somehow he did know. I don't remember who wrote that song, but I remember they used to sing it. Somebody tapped my telephone line. Did Buzzy write it? Somebody's reading my mail. Somebody's telling stories I know I didn't tell. Let me tell you something about God. Man, when God starts moving and the prophetic starts moving, and listen, there's a fine line between the prophetic and the pathetic. But when the prophetic starts moving, and I believe that moves when the Spirit moves, then there are some things that are revealed, and they're not revealed to make anybody feel less. They're revealed to get us closer to Him. Man, it used to make me nervous. I used to go to a certain denomination of church sometimes, and every time prophecy came forth, it was gloom and doom. The time is up. The time is nigh. It's almost over. Get ready. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. I'm like, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he's going to testify of me. And let me tell you something about the Spirit of God. When it testifies about Jesus, I don't care if it's the last hour or not. That is the Lamb of God. And he's going to be saving up until the last moment. I used to go to church and get scared to death. Anybody? And then your parents threaten you with Jesus? I've heard parents do it. Jesus is watching you. I'm telling you. Are you lying? He knows if you're lying. And they're like, I'm scared to death of Jesus. Where was he at when I was lying? Church ain't far from that. Trying to scare you into religion? Mom, you remember when the transformer blew up in John Benn? Well, let me just tell you. Power transformer blew up. Skies lit up like crazy. People's going to churches and praying. They think it's the end of time. A little late at that moment. If it's over at that point, open up. Let's get praying. Let's get praying. People are scared. Now, we've seen it. We've seen it. 9/11. Remember, all over the place. I remember one in particular, the Wendy's right up there. I just remember, God bless America. God bless America. God bless America. God bless America. Well, we all came together and wanted to pray when we were in trouble. I don't see God bless America on any Wendy's anymore. Do you? How about America bless God? How about that idea? But people get afraid. And I did it. Listen, I did it. I got scared. Y'all know my story. I'm a little kid listening to Jack Van Impe. There's two things growing up in the 80s my parents should have never let me watch. The Exorcist and Jack Van Impe. Both of them were scary. Jack Van Impe, oh, Roxella, it's the end of time. The blood is going to be up to the horse's bridle. Yes, Jack, it's going to be wonderful. I'm like, no, Jack. No, Jack, it's not. The blood moon? I've been waiting on a blood moon since I was a little kid. And I better shut up. They're still talking about it. That don't get rid of the fact that Jesus is coming. But I'm going to tell you right now, me being afraid of him returning since I was 6 years old has not helped me. But me getting a revelation of who he is has really helped me. Because once I know who he is, I become unafraid because, oh, you got to hear me. Perfect love casts out fear. Now that I got a revelation of who he is, and he's not just a judge, but he's my father, it's changed me. So guess what? I go to sleep. Mom, you don't even know this, but this is a true story. I remember being so scared when I came out of church and they said that Jesus looked for those that love his appearing. I'd go home after church and open up the curtain and lay my pillow in the window and look for as long as I could. Because I thought it was that close. God, if you come back to back, I'm going to be looking. I'm going to love your appearing. guess what? I can lay down and go to sleep in a matter of seconds. Give me an amen, Tracy. Mid-conversation, she says. You know why? Because I know exactly. Because I know him. And if he comes back and my eyes are closed, he's going to wake me up. you got to hear me. That's gone now because I've walked with him and I've learned his nature. And oh, yeah, he's the judge that sits on the throne, but that's the same judge that got off the throne and advocated for me. Oh, yeah, he saved me. And not only did he save me, he adopted me. Yeah, that's good, ain't it? She's getting a revelation. She's getting a revelation. Some people really don't know who Jesus is. It's scary to not know who Jesus is. Again, they've been threatened by him. And that's scary. Jesus? Leave it alone. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." Then she goes into theology. She goes into a study of God and worship. Listen, our fathers worshiped in this mountain. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, is now in, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Jesus is saying, it's not about what mountain you're standing on. It's about what truth you're standing on. It's not about what heel you got your feet planted on. It's the position of your heart that matters. Because there are people that stand in churches and do not worship. And there are people in gutters who are still worshiping because it's not a position of the feet. It's a position of the heart. And I can worship him in the middle of a storm because I know who he is. Amen. I called Tracy today whining around. You know how sometimes you want a pity party? Anybody ever wanted a pity party? So you call somebody. She was telling me stuff. She's excited. She's working on plans. She's meeting with the architect on the church. She's doing, man, it's been busy. It's been busy, busy, busy. And she's wanting to tell me all that, and I went, she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Thank goodness she asked." So I started pouring it out, pouring it out, pouring it out, pouring it out, pouring it out. Come on, anybody? Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever done that? And if they change the subject, they don't care about me. Do you remember? I remember this. I do remember this. I remember when I was dating Tracy. It's a long time ago. For you kids that don't know, this was before cell phones. So you had a cord. Or if you was fancy, you had a cordless phone. Y'all remember them cords on the phone? And some of them were real short. And then some of them were really long. Those were nice. Because I'm like my son-in-law Shane. When I'm on the phone, I like to walk. If he's on a phone call more than 5 minutes, he walks 3 miles. And man, we talk. Remember this, Tracy? And it would go on forever. And then you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Come on, anybody know? Anybody? Has anybody ever done this? Raise your hand if you've ever done this. No, you hang up. And then after 3 hours, and they finally hang up, like, "She don't like me." She hung up first. Let's plan it. 1, 2, 3, hang up. Oh, you didn't. You didn't either. It's crazy what we do. And you feel like they don't love you. And you know what we think sometimes? We're trying to talk to God, and we don't get a direct answer. We want him to move right then, and we say, I don't know if he loves me. I don't know if he loves me. I don't know. I know you've heard this before, but listen to this. The teacher is always quiet during the test. But that doesn't mean that the teacher is not watching. Amen? So hang in there. And once you get to know him, this gets easier. Did you find me? Did you find, was it back, something back there? I need a jar. For real? Like in your purse? Yeah, that'll work. Go fetch it. Sounds like Bible terms, don't it? Go fetch it. King James Bible. If you don't mind, go fetch it. Now, Jacob's well was there. Now, understand this. The Samaritans and the Jews claimed Abraham as their ancestor. Right? Both sides. She said, there cometh one. Now, she says, now this is Jacob's well. And they're both, she says, you know, are you greater? Are you greater than our father Jacob? I'm going to show you how much greater he was than her father Jacob. Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. I like this one. Yeah, that's like fancier. I want you to back up just a few verses, and I'm going to let you go home. I want you to hear this. Because when I read this today, I don't think I've ever seen it this way before. And when it hit me, Doug, it messed me up. Let's go back up, because this conversation happened because something happened before the conversation. Let's go back up to verse 1, John 4 and 1. I want you to watch this. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. Here we go, next verse, parentheses. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. This next verse is really important. And he must needs go through Samaria. On the map, if he's going that way, it's a good way to go. But you know what's interesting? I found out that people would purposely go around Samaria because they didn't want any dealings with the Samaritans. They would go around them. Listen real close. They would go around them. Have we in modern day ever tried to avoid people? Confession time. It's good for the soul. I know I have. Y'all know my revelation? Hey, see you later. Y'all know that revelation? Not if I see you first. I never knew what that meant. I really didn't know what that meant until one day I was in Walmart. And I seen somebody before they seen me, and they never seen me. I went, oh, because I seen them first. They don't want to listen to that. They were a very negative person. They gave me an organ recital every time you ask them how they're doing. I just didn't have time for it. Sometimes we avoid people. Jesus said, I've got to go to the place where they're being avoided. Oh, this gets better. This gets better. I've never seen this, Chrissy. And you probably ain't either, so this is going to be good for both of us. Everybody else may know it, except me and you. Next verse. There's a reason this is in the Bible. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Next verse. Don't miss this. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the... Why is that there? Does it really matter what time it is? Why would he tell us that it was about the sixth hour? I'm going to tell you why. Because this is not the time that they got water. This is not the proper time to get water. The sixth hour is 12 noon. That's the sixth hour. Go back in the Bible and you'll find, well, let me give it to you. Genesis. Watch this. I want to show this to you. Y'all got a minute? Genesis. You got my Genesis verse. What is it? Watch this. Genesis 24:11. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. What time? Evening time. Why? Because it's cooler. So why is she at the well at noon? What is she doing there in the heat of the day? I'm going to tell you what she was doing there. She was ostracized by her community. Because this wasn't just a place to get water. This was a social event. This is where everybody got to come together and they talked. And Jason, I'm driving down the road today and I get tore up because I picture her in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, with her jar going to get water so she doesn't have to face those people that have been whispering about her because she wasn't quite up to par like they were. She didn't quite have it all together like they did. So she walks out there in the heat of the day and she's going out in the dust by herself. There's no safety. There's nobody around her. Not only did they do it for coolness, they traveled together for safety. There are people that avoid people that think they got it all together because it breaks their heart to think that they're broken. She would rather risk the heat. She would rather risk being attacked than to deal with the stares of the people around her. Rewind. Jesus said, I've got to go to Samaria. He said, needs be, I go through Samaria. Why? He knew she was coming. And this is awesome. It didn't matter what everybody thought about her. It didn't matter what religion taught him. It didn't matter what status quo was. It didn't matter what the culture said. Jesus came and sat down on a well in the heat of the day, knowing that a broken lady was getting ready to show up, and he wanted to be there just for her. Nobody else is around, just him and her. What does that tell you? That tells you that our Savior is so awesome that he will leave a possibility. He will leave, he'll come to you with just because you are a possibility and set in the heat of the day so that he can move in your life. I hope this thing's sturdy. I think I'm squeezing it pretty hard. And she had tried, metaphorically, she had tried to fill her pot, to fill her vessel. She tried with husband number one. Maybe he's the one. Maybe he's the one that can give me fulfillment in my life. That didn't work. Two, maybe he's the one. Maybe he's the one that'll protect me. Three, four, five, six. And when we pick her up, you know what she's carrying? An empty pot. Vicki, it breaks my heart to think there are people in this world that are trying to find fulfillment, and everything they try leaves them empty. And then when they look to the church looks at them and says, I'm sorry, but socially I can't accept you. I want to do it the Jesus way. I don't care what the world thinks. I want to do it the Jesus way. Because the Jesus way works. I get stuff in the mail. They know I'm a pastor. I get stuff in the mail. 28 ways to grow your church. 28 ways. What if I get to 26? Does it got to be all 28? Because that's a lot. Send out flyers. Figure out. You know what they tell you to do? Listen to this. Figure out your demographic.
Who are you shooting for? This is what they taught us when we learned how to sell carpet. Pick your demographic. Who are you going to be selling to? Well, let me tell you, in carpet, when you're selling carpet, it's women between the ages 20 and 45. Men used to come into the shop when we had a tile shop and start trying to pick out stuff. I've looked at them before and said, are you married? Yeah. Oh. I'm wasting my time, ain't I, bub? Yeah, you are. This is crazy. I'll go get her and I'll come back. Good move. That's my demographic. It ain't you. But for a church to try to pick out a demographic, to try to figure who you're trying to target, what age group do we start at? And what age group do we end at? Anybody want to pick our demographic? No, let me tell you how this works. I don't care who they are and how broken they are, how old they are, or how young they are. Jesus is the answer to fill it up. Jesus is the answer to fill it up. Can't nobody do you like Jesus can. So I choose the Jesus way. I choose the Jesus way. Not the 28 ways, the Jesus way. What does that mean? I'm sharing Jesus. Because if I share Jesus, it works. It works. So we've debated. We've talked about it. Man, what can we do? Hey, we're getting ready. We're designing a church right now. Man, Mike, it's fun. It's fun. And they're doing classrooms, and they're saying, we want this over here, and we want that. I said, yeah, y'all do whatever y'all want to with that. I said, I just want the sanctuary. That's where I'm going to work at. That's my place. That's where I'm going to work at. So pick out your room, do your foyer, do this, do that, decorate this, decorate that. What's the sanctuary going to be like? We're talking about sound systems. I just want to know if it's going to be loud enough for everybody to hear me talk about Jesus. Not about me, but about him. About the one that walked all that way and sat down on a well in the heat of the day, not for a crowd, for one broken lady. Y'all want to know the rest of the story? She runs off, and the Bible says she left her water pot. The very thing she was using to try to fulfill her life, she left that mechanism behind and goes running into the city. Now watch this. She was bashful a little bit ago, trying to avoid everybody a little bit ago, but she met Jesus, and she didn't care what they thought about her then. This is so good. Some of y'all were brash for Satan and you're bashful for Jesus. We need to get rid of that. Oh, you dance on the dance floor and it was sinful music. You out there doing the job. You get in church, you're like. Like somebody, praise the Lord. I'm going to start asking kids to get videos of their parents in sin. She left the mechanism. She runs into the city. And she says, I met a man. And this man told me everything that I had done. Is this not the Christ? Watch what happens. People in the city think she's so convincing with her testimony. You got to be convincing with your testimony. Convincing with your testimony. Not it's a hard old way. Can I, Eddie? Not I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. You telling people? Eddie asked me to quit singing that song because it gets in his head and he sings it all week. She was laying in church and she, oh, Jesus, all I got left, Jesus, a hard old way. Everything's going bad. All I got left is Jesus. Sat down, it came time for the altar call, turned around and asked somebody, would you like to go pray for me? He said, I heard your testimony. I'm having a hard enough time serving the devil. She got in there and she was convincing, so convincing that the city came out to see, and many believed on him because that woman that was ostracized by the whole community met Jesus. You can't be ashamed of it. You can't hold it back. because he sat on that well for every single one of us. He took the burden and went through the heat of Calvary so that we could be made whole. And it doesn't matter what society thinks. What matters is what Jesus thinks. Come on, Aaron.
I'll see if I got any more notes while he's coming. I think I'm out.
What were you using to find fulfillment? Whatever it was, it didn't work. I can't get no.
That's not what I was going to sing. Why are y'all singing them kind of songs? Okay, maybe it was. Maybe I led you into that.
People searching and trying to find, and they're out in the world and they're writing songs about can't find no satisfaction.
Well, I found some. I found some. Pastor White used to talk about country music. He said, country music? He said, people get up there on stage. Do you remember this, Robin? Do you remember talking about it? He said, get up there on stage and they sing about losing their wife, losing their four-wheel drive, losing a trailer. People out there in the field, whoa! What are you wooing about, man? He's lost everything. Even Jake died, the dog. I mean, his whole life is gone, whoa! Come to church, tell them they got absolutely everything. Let's try it. Let's see what we do. How people go, whoa! One kid and one up there. You got absolutely everything. I got a woo.
I mean, think about what you got. Four-wheel drives in the ditch. I mean, whoa. And we're like, man, you got it all. You got it all. He sat and waited on you. You got it all, man. You got it all. That's the Savior that I serve. That's the Savior that I love. He left it all to come to where I was so that I could have it all.
Man, I don't want to choose his way. I don't want to choose their way. 28 ways to grow a church. 14 ways to be a better evangelist. Pick your target. Let me tell you something about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God works like this. It's like a man taking a net and casting it out into the water. You know what happens when you cast a net out into the water? All kinds of fish. Some of them are weird. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you've never pastored. But he brought them in. He brought them all in. You don't pick a demographic with a net. Because this Jesus that I serve is for all of them. Even the one that society says, we don't want no part of her. We don't want to be around her. Jesus is still about that one. Yeah, that's what God spoke to me today, driving down the road. It was the sixth hour, Damon. It was noon, man. I went out there at noon in the heat because she's trying to avoid it. Man, can we be a light to the world? Everybody ready to stand? I'm going too long. Let's stand. Anybody feel like you're in a room of crowded people, but you're still lonely? You feel like you prayed and your prayer ain't been answered and you're like, God, I'm looking for you, but I can't find you. You want to pray? If you need prayer, I want to pray that God gives you that living water. Play on words right here, because living water was water that flowed. It's living, it flowed. It wasn't a cistern that could run out. It was flowing water. Wants to give you something that can't run. Anybody need prayer tonight as they sing this song? If you need prayer, step out. I want to pray for you. Living water. God, renew me. Refresh me.